Anubhavanaha. Enmity. Itavam. So great. Amrito yoho. Up to the point of death. Iha. In this. Dehinam. A person is too involved in the bodily concept of life. Ayana prabhavaha. Because of the great influence of ignorance. Manyu. Anger. Ahambhana. By egotism. Upabremitaha. Expanded. Translation. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people, the bodily concept of life, maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. So you can repeat. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual, but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude toward Vishnu for having killed his brother Hiranyaksha. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies, but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige, but also because of continuous enmity toward Vishnu. So, Vairanubandha hitavanamrachori hatehinam yana prabhavo manjur ahammano paprem hitaha. So, Umaganatimadandasha. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur, Unmiritam Yenitas by Shikurve Maha. So, today's topic is anger. It's a nice topic. So, generally, of course, it's mentioned here in the purport, end of the verse, that anger is coming from, in general, not in the case of Radhikashipu, it's coming from ignorance. So, let us try to understand how anger is coming from ignorance. So what does ignorance mean? Of course it means ignoring something. But basically, it means that one is simply living for gross sense gratification. And the mode of passion, there may be some sense gratification, but it's planning out. You know, you're planning out, you know, so much wealth do I have today, so much more will I gain tomorrow, he's my enemy, I've conquered him. So there's some planning out. Of course, you get anger in the mode of passion, but it's mixed with ignorance. And in the mode of goodness, you don't get anger because of the pure mode of goodness, of course, if it's pure. You get spirit, you get anger, but it's actually productive. It's not destructive anger. Okay. So, because of the mode of goodness, one gets angry in a way to help people. Like you see, the spiritual master sometimes will get angry or a little sarcastic with a disciple, depending on whether someone can take it. And it's for the good of the person. And the same way, Krishna's anger is for the good of the person who he gets angry with. So that's a little bit different. But let's talk about ignorance right now. Ignorance means just like You see that objects are meant for your enjoyment. I mean, just like a dog. A dog sees something, either delineates his territory, that's why they pass you, or he has sex or he eats. Of course, you may say, well, he loves me. Well, he loves you because of what he gets out of you, what he gets out of you. It's not, dogs are very obsequious. That means they're always trying to please you. And of course, there's that statement, too much devotion is a sign of a thief. John Pundit says that. So if someone shows you a lot of devotion, just like you go and you into some store and the salesman is very, or the sales lady is very devoted to you. Oh, I really like you, Hare Krishna devotees, you're so nice. Trying to sell me a bill of goods. And I know that, like one of my godbrothers, sometimes when I want to borrow money from him, I get very devoted to him. I call him on the phone and I tell him what a wonderful devotee he is. And he realizes I want something from him. So ignorance means that you just see something as an object of your enjoyment. You don't see one underlying spiritual nature, like the understanding and the mode of ignorance is just like, be here now. You just see something, eat, or sex, or whatever. And you don't really think about it. And in the mode of passion, of course, you see different living entities and different types of bodies. And the mode of goodness, you see one underlying spiritual identity or type of spiritual identity in every living entity. So in ignorance, it's just like... And so the problem with ignorance is that, described by Krishna in the Gita, was that jayato vishyaput samsambhastesha vajayate sangatsa jayate kama kama krodha vijayate. Smriti Brahma, 62-63, second chapter of Gita. That when someone who is just influenced by ignorance, they look at a sense object, they contemplate a sense object. And of course, even if we're not generally influenced by ignorance, when we start to contemplate a sense object, then it puts us in ignorance. It's like that. For example, in my own life, let's say sometimes I'm offering some boga to the deities. I have to be very careful to avoid thinking in my mind that after this is offered, what? I get to eat. Like sometimes you see the children, when they're hungry, they want some prasadam. And they'll say to their mother, is it prasadam yet? In other words, they're contemplating eating something that's not offered. And of course, that's, for a devotee, that's really not kosher. Sorry for that word. It's really not a good consciousness. Now, I mean, like you have the Madhavendra Puri. He was in Ramuna, where the deity of Shira Chura Gopinath is. And he heard that the deity of Shira Chura Gopinath was offered this kheer. It means like condensed milk preparation with rice in it. And he was thinking, boy, I'd like to taste it. Not because he was thinking, I'd like to taste it for my own enjoyment. He said, I'd like to taste it so that I can make it for my deity, Gopal. But even, he's thinking, and he became so embarrassed that he thought he was thinking, I'd like to taste, even though it was out of devotion. What to speak of someone like ourselves who is thinking, boy, can't wait till it's offered yet. Wow. So it takes a lot of self-control not to contemplate the food that you're offering to the deity. Because when you're contemplating, then you become lusty. And if you don't get it, then what? You get angry. I remember when I was, years ago, I was cooking for the deities and cooking so many things. I was cooking some special preparation sweets, which I no longer eat, thank God. So, even though I serve one devotee with a whole 2 gallon bottle of sweet drink, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so apart from that, I made a determination that when I made those special preparations for the deities, I wouldn't eat them. You know, that making that determination that helped me have the right attitude. Because when you contemplate, so when you're hungry, contemplating sense objects, you're going to tend to be angrier. Just like there's a statement that if you're going to go swimming and there's sharks around, don't make sure the sharks aren't hungry. When I was before I became a devotee, I used to go swimming with sharks. Yeah, in the Bahamas. But they had enough to eat, so they weren't dangerous. They were just chanting Hare Krishna. No, they weren't. They were just friendly. And there were barracuda there and everything like that. Barracuda, you know, 3 lines of sharp teeth. None of them touched me. Because they weren't. But if you go swimming with sharks, then they're going to be angry. They're going to be... And actually, it's a fact. If you know about sharks... that if you put blood in the water, they go into a frenzy. And you don't want to go swimming at that particular juncture. Anyway, so anger comes from frustration when you don't get what you want. And another typical Shastric example of that is Chitraketu. Of course, Chitraketu... he really didn't get that angry. It was 9,999,000 of his wives that got angry. He was trying to have a son, and it really wasn't his karma. So he thought, well, this wife is barren, that wife is barren. So he tried with 10 million wives. Pretty good, isn't it? That's more than the population of North Carolina.
More than Krishna.
More than Krishna, yeah. Krishna only had 16,108. So this poor individual, he had 10 million wives. And guess what happened? You know, of course, he was praying for a son. It wasn't his karma to get a son. You know, sometimes things are just not our karma. You know, we're born with a certain type of body. And sometimes... we're really angry at God for not giving us, you know, what everybody else has or what someone else has that we're envious of. You know, so, you know, just like when I was young, I mean, my own personal example, that I was never good at sports or anything like that. And so, you know, I get angry at my friends who were better than me. Or angry at God. Why didn't God give me a better body? You know, what's wrong with him? Doesn't he know what I want? And you see that, you know, when people have this expectations. So anyway, so Chitraketu wasn't meant to have a kid. So basically, he got a blessing from Angira. And Angira said, all right, you can have a kid, but he's going to be Harsha Shoka. Harsha means Shoka, means he's going to give you some happiness, and he's going to give you distress. And Chitraketu was thinking, this is normal. Kids normally give happiness and distress. You know, they keep you up at night when they're born, you know, for the first few years, and they scream and they yell and you can't get enough sleep. Okay, but it's blissful. I don't know what that means. Anyway, so then what happened is because that one kid that he had, that was Harsha Shoka, came from one of his wives, not all the wives, then the 9,999,999 wives became envious and angry, and they killed the kid. Because they are envious like that. They had some expectations. So that's the point. When we're lusty, when we have some expectations of happiness, and when you even get the object that you're lusty for, that you get angry because you're not getting the happiness you got from it. I mean, in material, let's say material household life, not devotees, because they're all transcendental, They don't expect their husband or wife to be the absolute servant of them. Hopefully not. Although that's the propaganda. So, let's say in material household life, you have this expectation, you know, these really unrealistic expectations, right? You get married, it's going to be like flowers and whatever. Flowers and perfume and smiles and everything, and the wife's going to serve you, and the husband's going to be... I mean, what's the expectation? The expectation the lady has is that the man will change. And the expectation the man has is the woman will not change. And the opposite happens. So, yeah, because before the person gets married, you have the ladies, you know, making his prasadam plate up with little flowers on it, pressing his clothes. What else do they do? Yeah, she's combing her hair. So she looks real beautiful. You know, you don't see her at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, sometimes in an airplane, you know, the plane is landing and the lady's getting ready to meet her boyfriend. I might see what they do to prepare themselves to meet themselves, meet the boyfriend. I mean, they're putting the nails on and they're putting lipstick on her. So the expectation, getting to the point, there's an expectation, you know, the husband has it. Wow, I got a servant here. You know, that's really the expectation. And the woman's expectation is, wow, I really have a hero here. So what happens is they get married and they discover, the man doesn't discover, he discovers he doesn't have a servant. He discovers he has to serve. We should want to serve. That's good. That's our constitutional position to be servants, isn't it? Not in the service of Krishna. So the man discovers that, and a man discovers that she's not Madonna or whatever. And, you know, all of his expectations, and, you know, she has imperfections, and the man has imperfections. And there's anger. And actually, statistically, there's more violence in the home than there is on the streets. I mean, if you look at the statistics, most violence occurs between family members. Because there's... And even with children, you know, the parents have expectations. They put so much pressure on the children. And the children sometimes respond by committing suicide. Very high suicide rates when the parents put pressure. Or the parents are beating the kids to an inch of their lives. Or putting some guilt trips on the kids because they just want to, and the kids don't live up to their expectations. The parents may say that you're not my child anymore. So when there's expectations like that of enjoyment, in other words, you're contemplating someone, how someone will give you so much enjoyment, and it's not fulfilled, you get angry. It's a typical thing. So, you know, what do we do about it? So how to deal with anger? First of all, understand that Krishna's in charge, Krishna's in control, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality. God, Ishvara, Sattva, Bhutanam, Pradesha, Arjuna, Tishtati, Brahmayan, Sattva, Bhutani, Yantra, Rudani, Maya, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Supreme Personality of God, Ishvara, He's the controller. Sarva Bhutanam, of all living entities, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Bradeshar, He's living in the hearts of all living entities and directing them, as we know, also from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that verse is from the 18th chapter, but the verse from the 15th chapter is that Matat Mutir Jnanam Aponam Ta Cha, that Savasya Cha, Vidisana Vishyo, Matat Mutir Jnanam Aponam Cha. Krishna's in everyone's heart, and he's giving everybody direction, and specifically intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And so something that happens to us, you know, if we don't get what we want, or we get what we want, and we don't get satisfied, that's Krishna's arrangement. That's Krishna's arrangement. I mean, like you hear about these great devotees, Haridas Thakur, getting beaten in 22 marketplaces. And did he get angry at the person who was beating him? No. He felt compassion for the person who was beating him because he understood. It's Krishna's arrangement. Dharma the Bull. You know, Dharma the Bull getting beaten by the personality of Kali and having his legs cut off. Did he get angry at the personality of Kali? In fact, it's described when you get angry at the supposed, or let's say the person who appears to be the person who's causing you trouble, or you blame them, then you're just as culpable karmically. That statement is there in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That you're just as culpable, that means you're just blamable, to put it in simple language, as the person who's doing it, because you're seeing that something's happening without Krishna's will. So, as devotees, if we get what we want, don't get what we want, we should see it's all Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's put me in this situation. I mean, just like something we were talking last night. He said, I'd really like to have a Tesla, you know, car. He said, contemplating the Tesla car. I want it. Anyways. So even if I don't get it, Krishna doesn't want me to get it. And I'm not going to buy it anyway. It's too expensive. And you don't save money by buying it because you spent too much for the damn thing. And you could have bought like billions of gallons of petrol in the meantime. So, apart from that, you know, we should be careful about contemplating things with the spirit of enjoyment. We can contemplate things with the idea of giving them to Krishna. Like if you see a flower, so the deity service helps us for that. Because if you see a flower, you think it's meant for Krishna. Not meant for my girlfriend. Or if you have money, I mean, money is a big cause of problems in this world, then you think it belongs to Krishna. It's not meant for my enjoyment. So if you see like that, then that'll help you conquer anger. So what happens anyway? How do you deal with it if you do get angry? I mean, what is the system? Because from time to time we do get angry. I guess you should take a time out and try to understand it rather than express your anger. You should think that I have an issue. I have a problem that I'm getting angry. And ultimately, I'm getting angry at Krishna because Krishna's not giving me what I had the expectation of. So this is, you know, it's an interesting... Okay, getting back to Hiranyakashipu here, who was a little bit different type of personality. Hiranyakashipu was angry because that was his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, ultimately, he's a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was cursed. Jaya Vijaya were cursed to come down to the material world to fight with the Lord. And so he was supposed to be perpetually angry at Krishna. Just like, there's other examples of that, of Jaya Vijaya. The Shishupal. Shishupal was Krishna's cousin. And he was perpetually angry at Krishna. So much so, I mean, can you imagine he's so angry at Krishna that he committed 100 offenses against Krishna, knowing full well that Krishna was going to kill him. Because that was the benediction Krishna gave to his mother when it was predicted that Krishna would kill Shishupal. He said he can commit 100 offenses and I'll forgive him. I mean 99, sorry. 99 and I'll forgive him. But the 100th, he's going to get killed. So who could be so angry like that, isn't it? It's just like criticizing. I couldn't even think of 100 ways to offend someone. You have to be really inventive, right? You think, can you think of 100 ways to offend Krishna? I can't. So there was this, anyway, so that was Krishna's arrangement so that Krishna could have this exchange of ras with this particular individual. Now, one of the indirect rasas is anger. There's 7 indirect rasas, right? Like adbhuta, shock, anger, humor. And so Krishna really wants to draw these out in his interactions with his devotees. I mean, of course, in the spiritual world, you even have Satyabhama getting angry because Rukmini got a Parijata flower, and she didn't get a Parijata flower, but she made Krishna get a whole tree because of her anger. Can you imagine that? She said, "You didn't get me a Parijata flower. You got to get me a whole tree." Oh my God. I mean, talk about envy, anger, like that. And of course, pastimes in Vrindavan, you have Mana, the anger of Srimati Radharani, where Krishna, in order to appease her, he has to bow down at her lotus feet and beg for forgiveness. Pretty good, isn't it? It's all spiritual. But our anger right now is not like that. Our anger, at least my own anger, is mundane, and I have to see that it's caused by forgetfulness of Krishna. Forgetting. And if something happens to me, tatena kampam susha mikshamana punjana bhatma kritam vipakam ritvad papurvir pitadam namaste jivete yomukti sude pade sadayabhak. It's a very important verse. That if something happens to me, then I think, this is simply a token reaction for my past sinful activities. This is how we should think. Rather than thinking, why did Krishna do this to me? You know, I've been serving you for so many years, Krishna. You're not grateful at all. Can you imagine that? What, you know, after all I've done for you, like a Jewish mother, after all I've done for you, I've raised you up, doing this, you know, I did so many artis for you, Krishna. I cooked so many offerings. And now I'm getting sick. Now I'm getting old. Now I have trouble with my disciples. So they don't listen. So the point is, yes, it's a token reaction to the past things I did. And it's meant to bring me closer to you, Krishna. Because if these things didn't happen, then Janmaishvarya Shrutasya Shivirayamana Dapaman. I have so many anarthas. I mean, I'd be getting more anarthas because of my pride, my so-called good birth and opulence, or learning. I mean, these are causes of an artist. Or my pride, my beauty. Of course, I don't have to worry about that one. But, so we just think, it's Krishna. He's put me in this situation, and then it's for my own good, and I have to take advantage and take shelter of Krishna's holy names, ultimately. Yeah. With my mind, with my body, and my words, I have to take shelter of Krishna. This is the statement. With my heart, with my words, my body. Just like a vapu. Vapu means body. So I have to just take shelter of Krishna when these things happen. That's the way to conquer anger. You see Krishna, yomam pashati sarvatra. This is my favorite verse in Bhagavad Gita. 6:30. Someone asked me what's their favorite verse. 6:30. Yomam pashati sarvatra sabam chamai pashati. Dasham apanashami vachame apanashati. From one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. In other words, not only that Krishna is in everything, you know, in every atom, everyone's heart, but whatever happens is Krishna. Whatever happens to me, it's Krishna. Unless it's my fault. Don't blame Krishna for that. You could also act foolishly, too. Like if you don't wear a seatbelt and get an accident. Don't blame Krishna. So Yovam Pashati Sarvatra. Sarvatra. Everything. Pashati, to see. Yoma, one who sees me, Pashati Sarvatra. He sees me in everything. Sarvatramai Pashati. And then we can conquer lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all these other bad qualities pretty easily. But Krishna's everywhere. So, anyway, so it's not our service to be angry like Hiranyakashipu. It's our service to see Krishna everywhere. So any questions or comments, we have about a minute and a half. Questions, comments, arguments? Yes. Morning.
Yeah, I know the Hiranyakashipu, he was gifted with this power that he had.
Yeah.
He could not have been killed, but he lacks knowledge and humbleness.
So yeah, well that was
simple, and yet he never...
Well, he had all that power, yes. But he was a devotee ultimately who was under Yogamaya. It's a different situation. Yogamaya puts a devotee into, let's say, a supposed illusion, so they forget that Krishna is God, so they can interact with him in different ways. Like either as a friend, like you have the coward boys who are with Krishna. They didn't know Krishna was God. They thought Krishna was our buddy. So let's have a wrestling match. I mean, who's going to wrestle with God? You know, if God comes in, if Krishna comes in here playing the flute, I'm not going to say, would you like to wrestle with Krishna? I'm going to be awe and reverent. Right? Fearful. Or at least ask Krishna for something. So you have to forget that he's gone. He just has to be one of the guys. That's called Yogamaya. And so, Hiranyakashipu also was Yogamaya because he's a pure devotee. I mean, how could you say it was anything else but Yogamaya? And Arjuna, when he was arguing with Krishna, you know, Krishna, you're telling me that contemplation or knowledge is better than actions. How can you encourage me to fight? You know, so in the Bhagavad Gita. So he's in a supposed illusion, but we're under something called Mahamaya. We're actually in illusion. We're actually forgetting that Krishna's God. We're actually forgetting that Krishna is everywhere and in everything. We're forgetting it. I mean, how many of us think that Krishna is everywhere? Everything that happens to me is Krishna. I mean, we don't think like that. We remember Krishna maybe 2 minutes a day. If we're lucky. So, on that happy note. Anyway, if you don't take care of your health, don't blame Krishna. If you're drinking 2 gallon bottles of soda, don't blame Krishna.